There's just a lot of love here. So I just want to pray for you all. Lord, we just thank you for each family, each member, each visitor that steps in this place. Lord, we ask you to have your way in everything that happens, Lord. And we know that your way is perfect. And your way is for healing. It's for the healing of that cancer. Your way is for blessing and restoration and redemption. It's for all that is good and perfect and whole and lovely. And so we thank you when we bless, especially bless the pastors on their anniversary. Thank you for their years of service and love. And pastoring a church isn't easy because there's just a responsibility that it feel for the well-being and care of everybody who comes through the door. And so we give that. Also that responsibility back to you, Lord, and thank you for how you've allowed them to steward that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, babe. Wow. Well, I respect you guys for joining with another church for an event, and I think that comes from the heart of Pastor John, and this heart. We're gonna love on other people. We're gonna give without asking, and we're gonna work on unity. And so that's an apostle's heart. And so thank you for doing that. And just I encourage you guys just to continue to lean into that. So love looks like something. There was a lady here whose mother-in-law has fourth degree cancer, right? What's her name? Her best friend's mother. Casey, okay. So the question is, who's going to that house to pray? Who's going to that house to pray? Love looks like something. Love looks like faith. We don't just pray. We show that love of God to them. Love looks like something. So we just can't sit here in these pews and stay here while we know somebody's dying of cancer and not go and love on them and love on their family. She's got a hurting family. There's a hurting family, and she needs you guys. You guys are the body and hands and feet of Christ. She needs you guys to go. Well, the Bible says go, right? It doesn't say sit. It says go. So this is a challenge to this church. Who's going there? Who's going? And when are you going? I need to know when you're going. I need to know who's going. And all y'all are going. Why? There's not many of y'all. You can all go. When are you going? Who's going? Who's bringing the food over? Who's going over there? Who's going to go pray? Who's going to hold those hands? It's not just the one who has this wicked, this is of the devil. Cancer is of the devil. That needs to be cursed. We curse that. We pray until it's gone.
That's right.
So let's just not sit. Let's do. Love looks like something. We got to love. Love to life. We got to love these people to life. And so please, we'll talk about this at the end of the service. We've got to organize.
Amen.
We got to organize because it looks like something. We got to come around people who need us and take that step of faith and love that. Go out, go after it. Go for full healing, 100% healing. Go for full restoration in that family. Something's happening in that family that needs restoration. There's these broken things. I can see these broken things in this family. And you guys are the answer to those prayers they've been praying. If you do something, love looks like something. It's called action. So we want to put our faith in action. Today, there we go. That's a sermon right there. No. Jen and our family has been on the mission field for 10 years. We served in a children's center. About 200 and some kids in a children's center for 7 years. And then the Lord opened up a door and told us to start and found a foundation, a nonprofit, in Colombia, South America. And so that's where we've been for the last 10 years. In the last 3 years, the Lord has been putting together this organization, this ministry. And so there's two aspects of the ministry. Real quick, one is the social work aspect to help people. God's called us to the rejects of society, the ones that other people will walk over, the ones other people don't care about. That's He's called us to those people, and so there's a social work programs, loving moms, single moms and their kids. to keep them kids out of the drugs, out of the conflict, out of violence and gangs and all that, and the moms out of prostitution. And so we have these programs for these populations. And that's a social work aspect of the ministry. And the program that that will come online this year, next year, is called Hope House.
Part of the ministry.
The other part of the ministry that God called us to is training of Christian leaders. So training of Christian leaders. And it goes like this. These two parts go like this. It's beautiful. And God has opened up many doors. And pastors and leaders all in the States, but also in Colombia. And so that has been amazing. And to that end, you guys like the lockdowns and the this whole COVID thing that year and a half. Well, that has been a blessing to us, because during that time, the book that the Lord has told us to write for years, we're able to write and get done and get translated into Spanish. So it's in English and Spanish, and that book is called Love to Life. And I want to give this away. I want to give this away. This is love. The Lord told us to write it. He gave us all the testimonies in this book. And so it's called Love to Life, Keys to Supernatural Transformation in Your Life. If you are hungry, if you're hungry for more of Him, if you want more of God, if you're hungry, you're not satisfied with where you're at, and you want to go to the next level, who is that person here? Who is that person here? Okay. All right. The hungry always get fed. And the Lord always feeds his hungry kids. We've got some other copies out in the foyer. You can get these things on Amazon, for Spanish speakers. Okay. Today, what I wanted to talk about is a worldwide thing that's going on. And it's the key. It's one of the keys that the Lord has given us. And first, it's also here in the States. So I think the Lord has something for us today. Just want to talk about a couple statistics. Holy Spirit, come and do whatever you want. We give you free range here in Jesus' name. Come and do whatever you want. Free range in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some statistics out there that talk about influence. Here in the States, they did this study, and they wanted to know what is the major influence in the life of a person up to age 25. And this is a secular study. And they discovered, they looked at drugs, they looked at pornography, they looked at promiscuity, they looked at all of the things, addictions, they looked at everything, and they found that there was one factor that had more influence than any other influence in someone's life up to the age 25. Anybody want to guess what it is? Divorce, okay. Family? Somebody said family? Okay.
Friends?
Yep. Friends are a big influence. Big influence. When they looked at the one factor that has more influence than all of it, one of the highest ones was the influence of a mother. But greater than the influence of a mother was the influence of a father. A secular study saying the influence of the father is even greater than the mother. The influence of the father is above addiction, above promiscuity, above alcohol, above drugs, above any addiction. The love of the father, the father's influence is greater. So you say, Tom, why do we have all this junk going around? Because it ain't a good influence. Because we have fathers that have lost their way, that don't have the tools to be the fathers that God has called them to be. And so this is the one of the major influences in all of society. They influence their children up to age 25 years old. Can you imagine? And in Colombia, we have a major problem. And it's not just that. We got guess the percentage of children born to mothers who are not married? 50%. Good. A little bit higher. 84%. 84% are fatherless. In the prison system here in the United States, almost all of the men have serious issues with their dads, or they don't. So almost all of the incarceration here in the United States are men, and that's due to the influence of a father, the bad influence of a father. And you can do the deductions onto almost all violent crime comes from this. Almost all addiction, entering into gangs, into violent behavior, and it's just not in Colombia. It's all over. It's all over. And this is one of the keys, the major keys to restoration. We need these for restoration, for our own selves, for ourselves. When I analyzed this, when I heard this, oh my goodness. No wonder I was so screwed up. No wonder I was promiscuous. No wonder I was drinking every night. No wonder I was into drugs. Well, I tried drugs. I didn't like them, so I sold them. No wonder all of this stuff in my life. And how could this happen? And how can I get healed from this? Let's analyze. There's a couple types of dads out there. There's a number of different father types. And we cover this even more in the book. There's just one part of the book is the father's love. And so there's children who grow up with absentee fathers. Fathers are not there. How does a child feel when they grow up in that type of home? Abandoned. Yep. Abandoned. Alone. Yeah, they feel alone. How else do they feel?
Worthless.
Because they've been abandoned. The father's not there. Sometimes the father's dead. He's just not there. He's absent. Sometimes he chooses not to be there. Sometimes he's incarcerated. Sometimes he's chosen other things other than being with the family, being with the kids. So there's an absent dad, and that leaves a wound, a gaping wound in the heart and soul of the child. There's another one. There's a passive dad. How does a child feel with a passive father? What's that?
He still feels abandoned.
Yep. Yep. No discipline. Yeah, any kind of right or wrong. Yeah, just in the breeze. Any breeze will take him. These are wounds that many of us have, but these are wounds common all over the place. How about now? Let's get into the perfectionist dad. How does a child feel? How does a boy feel under a perfectionist dad?
Unworthy.
Never measures up. Unloved. Worthless. We're moving into the Christian realm here, people. We're moving in the Christian realm. How many Christian dads are perfectionists? So you may be unchurched, you may be church, but you're encountering this stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you never measure up because you need to be perfect. So it doesn't matter. So you might as well just throw in the towel and be a real screw up. These kids are alone. They're so alone. The authoritarian dad. How does a child feel? How does a young girl feel with an authoritarian dad?
Scared.
Yeah. How does a young boy view the Heavenly Father when he has an authoritarian dad? Yeah. Always ready to fight. To hit him on the head. Oh yeah, God's always ready. God's just waiting to whack you. Right? He's just waiting He's got an authoritarian dad. And so many of our views of Heavenly Father come from these. Our views of Heavenly Father come, we believe he's an authoritarian dad. And this has screwed us up for so many years. And it screws our religion up. We end up giving this to our people. We end up perpetuating this in our own families. The worst type of dad is an abusive father. Now these are dads. We're not judging these dads. These are dads who don't have the tools, but they leave the most gaping wounds. How does an abusive child, a child who's been abused, feel? Verbally, sexually, physically. How does that child feel?
Angry.
Just bottle that up. Anger just comes up. And it comes out in what do they feel?
Fearful.
Full of fear. Yeah. Yeah. And this is how, when you guys walk and go to the store, Bojangles, you're walking past people that have this on them. You're walking past people who feel so rejected and abused. And there's nobody there to love them, but God sends you. He sends you. Who's going to do this? And like, it's us. We're to do this. When I grew up with my dad, my dad was kind of like he was a passive dad, but he was also absent much of the time due to he was a sales guy, so he was a regional sales guy. So he only came home on the weekends when I was little, and I remember, you know, at 3 years old in the bathtub. Standing in the bathtub just crying and crying. And my mom comes and goes, "Tom, what are you crying about?" I go, "I don't know." She goes, "What are you crying about?" And I said, "I feel so lonely. When is Daddy coming home? I miss him. Oh, he's coming home on the weekend, but he didn't have time." And since my father, when he was raised, his dad was just almost a sociopath. And so my dad could not connect with people. He could not emotionally do this connection with his own his family. And so in high school, he paid more attention to that TV than he did to me. When I was in grade school, at 10 years old, he paid more attention to the garage and the taking care of the lawn than he did to me. So it was a Saturday, and I knew he had time. He wasn't working. I was in the summer. I was like, I just want to play catch with my dad. And I had a baseball and a glove. And I was like, "Daddy, let's," 10 years old. "Hey, Daddy, let's go out and play. Let's still throw the ball around just for a little bit." He goes, "No, no." I go, "But just 5 minutes. Let's just go play. Let's just throw it around for a while." He goes, "No, son. I'm doing something. I'm doing something." I go, "Come on, Dad, let's go. Let's go. Come on, just a little bit. Just let's throw it a couple times." And at this point, my mom heard it in the kitchen. And she's in the kitchen. She says, "Gardo, you got to play with your kid." And he goes, "No, I'm not going to play." And she goes, "He's your son. He needs you. He's your son. He needs to spend time with you. You should spend time with him and throw the ball with him." And he says, "No, I don't want to." And I'm like, no, enough. I don't want to play anymore, please. I don't want to play. And this fight, they're fighting and yelling at each other. And at that point, this little boy's heart just cracks in half. Just cracks in half. And I just run away. I said, "No. I don't think I ever asked my dad to play again. I don't want to." In high school, he paid more attention to that TV. I had all this anger in me. And I was like, I had this plan. I'm going to go out in the garage. I'm going to get a hatchet. And when he's watching, it's those days of the big 80s TVs, you know. You break them, they blow up, you know. And so I'm good tube ones. I'm going to go out and get a hatchet. And I'm going to take that while he's watching that TV. I'm going to run that. I'm going to run off that TV and kill that thing and take it. My father away. I don't know why I didn't do it. Something stopped me. Went to college. Came back from college. I always wanted to connect with him. But when I came back from college, I was like, now I can connect with my dad. I have a college degree, and I learned to drink just like he did. Dad. And in college, we'd go out to the bars, and we had fun. We'd talk, and it'd be this connection time. I said, Dad, come on, let's go out to the bars. Let's go out to a bar. Let me take you out to a bar. Because I wanted to connect with him. This is his level. So he went out to the bar. And the whole night, he talked to everybody else in the bar but me. I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And so what I did, I took my eyes off my dad. I put my eyes on my Heavenly Father. I said, You gotta do something. Because I can't with my dad anymore. I can't. You need to heal me. I need to come to you. You need to be my father. And something happened. And I was able to forgive. Before we go any further, there's a great blessing that God wants to do. But before we go any further, the key to receiving the love of the Father is to forgive your father. To forgive your father. I want us to take just a minute to forgive our fathers. Maybe it's, no, it's not my father, it's my mother. I don't care who Holy Spirit is telling you to forgive. Maybe it's, it's not my earthly father, it's my spiritual father. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you. But let's take a minute to do that. And I first want to let you guys know how to forgive. Because many times we don't get it right. Here, let me show you how not to forgive. And how we just miss this. How not to forgive is like this. Oh, God, well, I forgive my father for all the bad stuff he's ever done to me. Amen. That's not going to work. Because what he did touched you in a very vulnerable place. He touched you in your soul. This hurt is in their soul. It's not out here. You're just playing when you're doing that. And to forgive in your head. Oh, here, let me forgive my dad. Done. No, you need to hear. You need to hear your words. Your words, you need to hear them. Your neighbor doesn't have to hear you, but you do. And so it's forgiving out loud. This is real. You forgive out loud and forgive specifically what he did and how he hurt you. What he said. Specifically what he said. Specifically how he cursed you. Some of you have received curses from your father. You'll never make it. You're no good. And so here's how to forgive. I always put my hands out like that. And I say, so how to forgive is, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my dad for that day that he wouldn't play ball with me. And he sat there and said, no, 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 right in front of my face. And he broke my heart. For the next 10 years, I suffered. I forgive him for that. I give you the pain, God. I give it to you. I give it to you, Jesus. Take it away. That's how you forgive. Forgive with your emotions. So let's just do it. Let's do it. What we're going to do is we're going to put our hands like this. Make a cup. Make a cup in your hands. Later on, some of y'all might want to write everything down. But we're here, so let's just put your hands in a cup like that. And when you forgive, you're going to speak, and those things are going to go into your hand. Okay? Prophetically speaking. They're going to go into your hand. When we're done, we're going to offer this to Jesus. Okay? So let's just forgive specifically. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my dad for, and you just fill in that blank, words he said, things he did, things he didn't do. Shh, come on, Holy Spirit. Sorry, this is out loud, people. I'm sorry, this is out loud. This is out loud. There is no shame. There is no shame. This is out loud. We are not going to do this exercise in our hands, in our heads, or I just might as well go home. This is out loud. Forgive you, Dad, for taking away 10 years of my life. I forgive you for that wound in my heart that pushed me to promiscuity. Jesus. It pushed me to drinking and drugs. I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you. I don't understand you, but I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you, Father. I forgive you. Release. The eyes closed. Maybe there's other people you're forgiven right now, too. With your eyes closed, I want you to imagine that Jesus is right in front of you. I want you to ask him out loud, not in your mind, Jesus, I want you to take this away from me. Take the anger, the loneliness. Take it away. And with your mind's eye, imagine him coming to extend his hands and take that junk out of your hands. And when he does, you put your hands down. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Jesus, come. Put your hands down. We release our fathers. Release our spiritual fathers. Release. Somebody's got an employer, just release them. Release them in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Take a big breath. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's interesting is that Jesus had a message for us. In the Old Testament, God is mentioned as Father like 15 times. In the New Testament, it's like 300 times. Jesus is saying something about the Father. Your commitment to God is solely based on how much you believe he loves you. How committed are you to God? We're not judging. We're just saying, hey, we need to know why we're not doing what we're doing is because, or what's holding us back is because we don't believe he loves us that much. If we really believed he loves us, we'd do anything. We'd be released. So what you don't need is more stuff to do. What you do need is the Father's love. Our love is measured on how much we believe he loves us. If we really believe he loves us more, we're just be like crazy lovers running around the world just doing stuff for Jesus just because we love him. And he tells us to do it. He's here. He's here. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and just accompany me in the background. Because I really believe God wants to do something. He wants to do something. This love that we are so desperate and needing, we always run away from it. We run away from this love. We're scared of it because we don't know what he's going to do. What is he going to do to me? What is he going to tell me to do? He's going to tell you to get in his lap because he just wants to love you. He just wants to love you. Jesus mentioned over 100 times, and that's just in the book of John, my Father, my Father. Y'all ever realize where Jesus is going? I mean, Jesus says, follow me, follow me. I'm the door. Follow me. We say, we're followers of Jesus. We're following Jesus. We're doing it. And so have we ever thought, where is he going? Jesus is walking. Where is he going? Where are we going with Jesus? He's going to the Father. He's the door to the Father. He opens that door and he says, listen, here's my daddy. You got to know my daddy. He's an amazing daddy. He's your daddy too. You got to know that he loves you. He loves you more than anything. His love for you is so great. And here's just a couple of verses. He says in Mark 1:9, it was when Jesus is like being baptized, right? And he hears the voice of God. And he says, God says, Father says, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. Oh, Tom, that's beautiful, but that's Jesus. I ain't no Jesus. That's Jesus. His Father's talking to Jesus, but I ain't no Jesus. That's not me. Oh, yeah, really? Have you read the whole Bible? Have you read the whole thing? Have you read John 17:23? Have you read John 20? That this verse changes your life. Listen to what it says. Jesus is praying. And what Jesus says is true, right? Okay, Jesus is praying. He said, I am in them. I am in you guys, my disciples, and they're in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. And listen to this. Father, may they know that you love them as much as you love me. Wow. That you love them as much as you love me. When the Father says, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. He's saying that over you. He's saying that over you today. He's saying that over your life. Because the Father loves you just as much as he loves Jesus, his perfect son. That don't make no sense, preacher. Does it have to? Do you have to understand it to make it real? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he says, John 17:26, your love will be in them, and I will be in them. Your love. John 16:25-27, he says, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. Raise your hand if you believe that Jesus came from God. Yeah. He loves you. He loves you. For the Father himself loves you dearly because you love Jesus. This love is different, people. This love is different. This love changes the whole game. This love changes the whole game. He says you are adopted as his own children. So here's the catch that I could not understand, is that when my dad was kind of messed up, I said, well, if the statistics say that if he screws up, I'm a screw up. How can I fix that? It says right here. You have not received a spirit of fear. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you, sons and daughters of the Most High God. What does that mean? You are grafted in to a new father, the good father. The good father that loves you, that disciplines without condemning you, that comes to you. That's the influence you have. That's why you don't have to be on drugs. That's why you don't have to be in pornography. That's why you don't have to be looking for other addictions. That's why you don't have to be criticizing other people. That's why you can love freely. That's why all that influence, the bad stuff's gone because you're adopted as him. Ooh. Let's stand up, please. Just one other thing. We minister to these people that are rejects of society. Nobody loves these. These people could not walk into a church. Some of my friends, these people are hitmen. They kill for a living. They kill for a living. What kind of love is in these people? The only thing that works with them is this, is the love. Is the love of the Father. The only thing that will turn these people around is the love of God. Like my friend, he was going for a hit in his neighborhood. He was going for a hit. And he stopped by a park at night before he was going to kill this person. He has his gun. He's going to kill it. He was doing this for a living. And he's in the park and he has this thought. He goes, man, I am so alone. I am so alone. And he hears this voice. This voice says, you are not alone because I am always with you. He couldn't kill that person. So he waits till the next night. He goes, I'm going to kill him tonight. He goes and he brings his gun. He's in the park. He goes, I'm so alone. And he hears a voice. The voice says, you are not alone, for I am with you. He goes, I'm going crazy. He goes to another hitman who just received Jesus. He goes, what's happening to me? I'm hearing voices. What are the voices saying?
What are they saying?
You're
right?
Not alone.
That's right.
I am always with you. That ain't no voice. That's God himself talking to you. He's going after you.
That's right. Come on.
This love is yours. This love is yours. It's the only thing that these guys understand. When I talk about the love of God with these guys, these are killers. They're actively killing. They don't know that you lift your hands at church. They're lifting their hands. We're praying with these guys. They're crying. I bless them like a father blesses their son. Woo. Let's receive this. Let's receive this. Just put your hands out. Just put your hands out. Those who are hungry, come on up here. I'm going to pray for you first. Come on up here. I'm going to pray for you first. If you have been crying and you don't know why you're crying, come on up here. If you're trembling and you don't know why you're trembling, come on up. If you feel heat in your body, you don't know why, what is going on, I'm going to pray for you first. This is Holy Spirit. It's more of you. I don't care what it looks like. I want more of you. I don't care what it looks like. I want more of you.